Nissan has a car for every driver who wants more. More action. More fun. More guts. More head turns. More adventure. More electric. At Nissan, more is all we do.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, this is not Todd Starnes. Andy Hoosier filling in today. Luckily, Todd is out getting healed. Getting better after his fall that he had a couple of weeks ago, and all the best to him as we've been praying for him, thinking about him as he's going out and, I believe, getting some scans getting taken care of with his foot after the fall. So, nonetheless, welcome into it. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program today in the Liberty University studios. Moving on out to Wichita, Kansas, and it's great to have you along for the ride today. Lots to talk about today, too. Holy cow, 888-747-8868. Again, 888-747-8868 if you want to jump on the show today with us. Bottom of this hour, we have Wayne Black. He is an author and an expert when it comes to not only the COVID-19 pandemic, but also economics and how much money is left after the COVID-19 relief funding, and could it go towards the education system? Could we try and get kids caught back up with their education, and could we try and work on some of the education safety at public schools across the nation? So we'll talk about that with Wayne coming up at the bottom of the hour. I have a question to kick off the program for you, though, is now that we're allowed to wear whatever we want to, or at least Congress or the Senate is at least allowed to wear whatever they want to on the Senate floor, because, well, I mean, John Fetterman apparently not able to put on a suit and tie because of his mental illness or because of his depression or because of his stroke or something. Maybe he has a hard time tying ties. I'm not quite sure, but we've seen him multiple times out there sporting the nice hoodie and the gym shorts. Is that what he wears? The gym shorts and the hoodie. So we've seen him multiple times out, not only on the Senate floor, but also introducing the president of the United States within his own state of Pennsylvania. And Chuck Schumer felt the need to change the dress codes for Congress, or at least for the Senate side. I now ask you, what would you wear if you were an elected official? And you were in the Senate and could wear whatever you want to, then what would you wear on the Senate floor? Because I am ready, man. I'm excited. I have to admit, I think I'm more excited about it than others. Why? Because I think now we should have themed days on the Senate floor. We're coming up on Halloween. I think that every elected official should wear Halloween costumes on the Senate floor to depict what they would like to do as an elected official, to depict what they represent around their district on the Senate floor. We could have themed days. Come on, man. I think it would be great. I think that come 4th of July, we could wear patriotic gear and like an Uncle Sam outfit. I think for St. Patrick's Day, we could wear green and look like a little leprechaun. Although John Fetterman might look a little strange as a very large, giant leprechaun. But nonetheless, I think that we should have themed days going into the Senate floor now that we have the ability to wear whatever we want to and not look professional in any manner, because why not? I mean, we're lowering standards across the board, across the country anyways. Why not just allow them to not look like the professional leaders that they're supposed to be? So I ask you, what would you wear? And should we have themed holidays on the Senate floor now that we have the changed dress code at the federal level? 888-747-8868. That's not the theme. I promise you, that's not the entire topic for the segment. But we got to throw it out there because that's the world that we live in. And in fact, John Fetterman, he's a little excited about what this means for him because he doesn't understand why people are so angry about this.
Bipartisanship, you know what I'm saying? So, but I don't know why the right side seems to be losing their minds over it. Like, dogs and cats are living together and, you know, like the world's spinning off its axis. But, you know, I think it's a good thing, but I'm going to use it sparingly and just glad that it's here.
You know, the really funny part about that is, if you didn't see the actual video, is he's pacing in the hallway, of course, with his hoodie and his gym shorts, and he's literally pacing with his hands on his head. People are losing their minds. Very strange character. Is that the best we can do? Seriously? Pennsylvania, we love you guys, but seriously, is that the best we can do? Is someone like John Fetterman? I'm not making fun of him. I am just saying that maybe he shouldn't be as an elected official. Oh, I'm sorry. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. I think I gave out the number wrong if you want to jump on the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, let's talk about something a little more serious here than the dress code in Washington, D.C., and the lack of professionalism, the lack of leadership that we're seeing. I guess, you ever hear the tone of, you know, you're trying to better yourself, you talk to one of those self-improvement coaches, life coaches, and they're like, look in the mirror, tell yourself that you love you. And if you see negativity in the world, then it's because you're looking negatively at the world and you view yourself as a negative individual and you have to change your mindset and think positive, right? I'm wondering if the reflection of Washington, D.C. is a reflection of us, that we're starting to get a little old, we can't remember our names half the time, we're struggling just being able to just have a coherent conversation, and apparently we don't even want to dress up any longer like we have for the 250 years or almost 250 years that we've had as a nation. So I guess we're just going to like show up and just halfway do it with our hoodie and shorts. Why not? That makes all the sense to me. If that is a reflection, then we're in a world of hurt right now, because the Republican Party is hurting themselves even worse as we have the duel between Kevin McCarthy and the Republican Party. As you've been following it with this ongoing budget discussion, which, you know me, I love talking about budget issues, this is getting worse by the day, and I've realized now that there was so little conservative voice within the Republican Party, especially in the House of Representatives, that we have to do something pretty dramatic pretty quickly. As you know, Matt Gaetz has threatened to put up the bill to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. And under the terms of the agreement for Kevin McCarthy to become Speaker of the House, that we allow that to be lowered to one individual. So they could put up the bill at any time by one person for a vote on the House floor to remove the Speaker. And it's due to the ongoing issue with the budget, with the stopgap funding bill that was proposed yesterday, we'll talk about in a second, and of course with the continuing resolution that could be up until the end of December, because we can't get our duties together and actually craft a proper federal budget. Now, proper federal budget is still a relative term, because the proper federal budget means we're only discussing about 40% of the budget that is the discretionary funding, the mandatory funding that's bankrupting us. We're not allowed to touch, and that continues to grow automatically every single year. So that's one issue. But the Republican Party, in a year when we're supposed to be building ourselves, in a year when we're supposed to be preparing ourselves for the 2024 presidential election, whether it's Donald Trump or whatever candidate that may come out at the end of the day to become the, again, leader of that Republican Party and potentially be president of the United States, we're supposed to be in a rebuilding phase. And right now we are nowhere near a rebuilding phase, because we love to bicker amongst ourselves. As the latest shows that Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy obviously have been squaring off and going at it. We've had the leaked audio from Kevin McCarthy recently of him yelling and screaming and berating the House Freedom Caucus members, threatening them to go ahead and try it. And we got to admit that while that sounded nice when we passed it, he's right. I mean, if we do remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House, who would replace him? I'm not quite sure that we could get someone more conservative, because right now the conservative movement within the Republican Party is a very minority sect of the Republican Party. The Conservative House Freedom Caucus has yesterday proposed a stop funding gap for the budget issue, and it was shut down almost immediately. Almost immediately. Now, the stop funding gap, according to them, would have extended funding through the month of October, giving them another, what, month and a half? Giving them a little bit more time to actually get their ducks in a row and be able to pass a federal budget. But at the same time, cutting across the board in all discretionary funding, which, again, that's only about 35 to 40% of the federal budget, cutting across the board 8%, except for the Department of Defense and Veteran Affairs. So our national security would not be affected. Our veterans would not be affected. But the rest of the funding in discretionary funding, got to claim that, because, again, when you hear it from the media, it's going to be, well, we're going to cut people's Social Security, We're going to cut people's benefits and SNAP programs and Medicare and Medicaid. We're going to let people die in the streets. That's what they tell us all the time. And it's not true, because that would be part of the mandatory funding. The discretionary spending, however, government agencies, you know, the IRS, the Department of Energy, Department of Education, all those, they would get an 8% cut in funding for the next couple of months until we actually figure out what the budget may look like. That simple bill that was proposed by Chip Roy and the rest of the Republicans in the Freedom Caucus has been shut down, eliminated, denied as of yesterday afternoon. And now it's in turmoil because that's cutting too much, according to some Democrats. I know. You can't be doing that. Cutting 8% on government agencies? That's absurd. How dare you? And if that's the direction that we want to go in this nation, fine. But we've said it many times before. Todd said it many times before as well, that the budget is growing to such a level that it's no longer manageable. In fact, we're no longer Wile E. Coyote looking over the edge of the cliff. We're now the Wile E. Coyote that's over the edge as the body continues to drop, and we're trying to keep our head up with the sign that says, oh, no, because of how bad of a situation that we're in. And it's not getting any better. This new budget increases spending by $2 trillion this year. Next year's another $2 trillion. And for those that want this into perspective, that's how much we spent in the last couple of years when we did the COVID-19 bailouts, was a $2 trillion COVID-19 stimulus package. And that's why the debt for that year, the deficit was up so much, because we spent more than what our budget was. That's the new level of spending. All the bailouts, all the uninsurance claims, all the unemployment benefits, all of the PPP loans, everything that we did when we shut down the entire country, and all of that extra money, that would be our new norm of spending. And to Democrats, that's just the new norm of spending where we have to cap it. Like usual, that's all the free reign that we have. We can spend all the way up to that point, and then when we run out of money again, then we can extend it, because, by golly, we can't allow the government to shut down if we don't have enough money, like we just ran into earlier this year when we did the deficit bill or the debt ceiling bill, and we allowed that to happen. Republicans, on the other hand, are like, let's just cut it by 1%. Let's have 1% remaining. That's the Republican plan, the grand conservative fiscally responsible party. That's their grand plan. Let's only not spend 1%. Have that as a safety net in case something else comes up. The continuing resolution, while we try to figure this out for the long term, was saying let's cut by 8% in discretionary spending, except for the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs. Because for some reason, our defense is not mandatory and part of that part of the budget. It's the discretionary we have to bicker about every single year. And because of that, it's been shut down. Kevin McCarthy now has a broken party and a broken caucus, and Democrats are now looking at a plan that could pass a federal budget to the max capacity ability to spend with all of the budget consumed, and they're trying to ram that through the House of Representatives now with moderate portions of the Republican Party and get the 218 majority that they need. Oh, yeah. So again, the Republican Party that is the majority in the House of Representatives, we now have them so broken that moderates are willing to work with socialist, radical, left-wing Democrats in order to pass an absurd budget that will bankrupt the nation, while the Republican Party, the conservatives, are in such a minority that they're unwilling to work, or Kevin McCarthy at least, is unwilling to work with them to pass something reasonable to actually move forward and not shut down the government, because the fast and furious mindset, again, is we can't allow the government to shut down, and we're all going to die if we do, and therefore we have to cower, we have to cave, give Democrats what they want, and not stand on our principles of actually cutting the budget and getting our economy back on track. And that's how we start off today. 844-747-8868, if you want to jump on. Where do we go from here? If we do remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House, then who would take the place? And what conservatives would be able to stand up and get the votes, the majority of the votes from the Republican Party, in order to do so? And if we're spending this much money, what do conservatives do within their own caucus to unite the party to fulfill their campaign promises of spending cuts and trying to get our economy back on track and to win over the rest of the caucus that is extremely moderate, wishy-washy, and scared of their own shadows? Got to take a break. We got lots to get to here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Back right after this.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes Radio Show. Andy Hoosier filling in. Wonderful to be along today. Todd, always a pleasure. And thank you so much for allowing me to jump in, fill in the seat while you're out and about and get feeling better, my friend, as getting all patched up after the great fall. And terrible deal. That's scary. Just thinking about it, when I heard the story, it made me cringe a little bit. Just a little bit. So all the best to you, my friend. Thoughts and prayers. And always love being able to jump on the radio waves and have some fun here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. 844-747-8868. By the way, I've been thinking about what Halloween costumes I think that we should have all the elected officials wear up there. And I really, truly think that because of the way most of them are, that I think most of them should wear skeleton outfits. I mean, come on. Come on, man. I think that Mitch McConnell especially should wear a skeleton outfit for Halloween. I mean, he doesn't have to dress in a suit anymore. Why not? He can wear a skeleton outfit. We'll just blank it out for the. I don't want dead air for 30 seconds, but you get the gist with that one. 844-747-8868. There was a bill, speaking of the Senate, there was a bill a few days ago from Senator James Lankford, and I know that the senator was on here with Todd just last week, I believe, or last few days, talking about the government shutdown preventative bill to not allow the Democrats to use that. Because, as you know, one of their favorite things in the whole entire world is to use the fast and furious mindset. We have to pass it. There's no time, no time, no time. We can't stop anymore. Got to do it right now. And if we do that, then, of course, what Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass it to see what's in it. But we don't know what's in it until we actually pass it, because no one has the ability to read it. And Democrats can just kind of cram in both sides. The establishment, the big government elite, they get to cram in whatever they want to into these bills, which is how we've gotten to this point already, because we haven't passed a legitimate budget since the Barack Obama administration, when we used to have the 12 appropriations bills. We weren't allowed to spend beyond anywhere between 38% to 40% of the GDP for national debt. Now we're sitting at about 120% of the federal GDP as a national debt. So things have changed over the past few years, obviously. And now we don't look to see what each bill looks like. We just pass this massive omnibus bill, and then we pass it to see what's in it. And they do that by the scare tactics of, if we don't pass this right now, we wait till the last minute, the government's about to shut down. And if we shut down the government, then people will die in the streets. They're not going to get their Social Security checks. It's the fear tactics that we hear about twice a year. Once around this time when they're supposed to pass the bill that they don't, then they continue do the continuing resolution till December. And then we hear about it all over again at the end of the year while you're trying to enjoy your holidays. So the senator, James Lankford, and a Democrat tried to pass the, or at least presented the government shutdown prevention bill to not allow that to happen, allowing us to have a reasonable and rational conversation to actually give us time to work on these things, even if we don't get it done in the time that we're supposed to get it done at the end of the fiscal year, like in the end of September for the federal government. I would like to add one thing to that bill, however, and say that for every month that they don't do the job that they're supposed to do, that they should decrease spending across the board by at least 1%. Do a 1% decrease, just like this 8% one they were trying to do with the stopgap funding bill, which, all right, that's not the best, but at least we did, we could have had some sort of decrease in spending. Do a 1% across the board, every agency, every department, every program, every salary, everybody, 1% across the board for every single month that they don't do their job when they're supposed to, and see how quickly something gets done. Now, again, that's not going to happen. That's kind of a pipe dream for us, but at least we can hope, right? We can always fantasize. We can pretend that we live in a rational world where Republicans can actually compromise with Democrats, and that they actually hold their ground and try and push the envelope a little bit to our side as the pendulum has been stuck with super glue or Gorilla Glue on the other side of the aisle for, I don't know, at least the last decade. It's been pretty frustrating. So moving forward, we'll see if we can't get some of that and get rid of the fear tactic that Democrats oh so love to use when they come down to this issue. Got to take a break. When we come back around the corner, Wayne Black, he'll be joining us to talk about COVID-19 relief money, how much is still left floating out there, and how could we properly use that money since it's already been allotted to us? Or should we just return it back to the people? Wild concept as well. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. Lots more to get to. Stay right here.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes.
Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in today. Great to be along with you for the ride for the middle of the week. Can you believe it, man? We're halfway through the week already, and we're almost through September. That scares me just a little bit. I think I'm going to get my Halloween decorations out this weekend, and I'm waiting for elected officials to wear their Halloween costumes on the Senate floor. What Halloween costume should they wear is the big question. We'll get to all the callers here in just a minute, 844-747-8868. But let's shift gears a little bit. We'll get back to the budget in just a moment because there's a lot to talk about with the federal budget, the lack of one right now, the potential government shutdown. That's the fear tactic we use all the time, and what the continuing resolutions or stopgap funding bills could look like, because apparently doing an 8% discretionary cut across the board until we actually get our ducks in a row is not a good plan. So Democrats trying to take advantage of that, like they always love to do. But let's shift gears just a little bit, and we'll move to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Excited to have on the program, now that we are officially back into school for the fall semester, and kids still massively behind right now after the COVID pandemic, trying to play catch-up, as they're essentially a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years behind on their education. My daughter's 9. She's in fourth grade this year, and I will tell you that doing things remotely and not having classes has been extremely difficult for a year or two. And it's good to be back in the classroom, and now we get to play catch-up to get her up to the fourth grade level that she's supposed to be at. Then, of course, we have new COVID-19 mandates coming down again for the new wave of stuff that we'll get to in a little bit. And, of course, the school safety that always seems to be a concern no matter where you're at in the country. I'm coming from Wichita, Kansas, where my flagship station is, and we've moved the Liberty University studios for the day today. And we even see issues here in the middle of the country, in the prairie. And we have issues where now we have metal detectors and we have more security officers, and it's a big ordeal. What can we do to start addressing some of these problems? Happy to have on the program with us here, he is author of the book Schools in Security, a comprehensive guide to parents and educators on school security, protecting your children, and fostering a safe learning environment. It's Wayne Black on the line here. Wayne, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. What a world we live in today when we went from, now I'm 34, I didn't get to enjoy this necessarily at my time, but what a time we went from having kids being able to go hunting in the morning and have their rifle in the rack in the truck in the parking lot of the school when they came back from hunting in the morning, to now, if you have that at all, then you're probably having the FBI lock you down and do an entire search of the entire building because we're concerned about a school shooting. Oh, how the times have changed, Wayne.
Well, they have, and that's the reason I wrote the book, School Insecurity. This is really a guidebook for parents and grandparents. They're the ones that are going to have to stand up. It's not going to change. Schools are not going to be secure until parents and grandparents stand up, either run for school board, elected office, or do something, because they care more than anybody else about their kids.
It is unfortunate. What can we do? Now that we have the COVID-19 pandemic over, They still have massive amounts of money that many of the school districts around the country have received, and in the tens of millions of dollars for all these school districts, where some of it's not even been appropriated yet. We're trying to find resources for this. Do you think this would be an opportunity for us to maybe beef up some of that security, either put a school resource officer in or to put in metal detectors, or I don't know what else you could do, but I mean, what direction should we take here to try to address this?
Well, there are billions of dollars left that have already been taxed. We've already spent it, right? It's just languishing around. Last year, and again this year, Senator Ted Cruz proposed a school safety act where they would use unused COVID funds to lock down schools, SROs, locking front doors, all kinds of great things. It was blocked last year and this year by some Democrats from Connecticut, where Sandy Hook took place. So I'm mystified by why they would do that, but that's what we face. It's become too political. There's nothing political about protecting our children.
Yeah, no, there's nothing political about that at all. However, we beef up that security. I know there's also programs out there, and I believe some of them originated from Colorado, I want to say, maybe Ohio as well, about programs allowing or giving the opportunity for teachers to be trained and actually be able to carry within the classroom for that defense as well. Now, it's not something that's mandated or mandatory for all of them. And I remember growing up in high school that there would be many teachers that wouldn't want that or wouldn't have the capability of doing that. But it was an option that they would actually go in, do the training, do simulations, and actually train these teachers to have some security. I mean, is that something that we have to look at in today's time?
I don't know. I think that's a very last resort. Teachers ought to be educating and focused on education, and security people ought to be focused 100% on protecting the school, monitoring the front door, one way in, one way out, those kinds of things. So you really need a law enforcement officer or former law enforcement officer or maybe a military person that's used to it, that's had a life of carrying a pistol or a rifle to protect the school. And the other thing is with teachers, female teachers, where are they going to carry the gun? You know, how are they going to conceal it? How are they going to protect it? The whole myriad of potential issues. And if I'm in a high school and I don't want to bring a gun to school, I know a teacher has a gun. I'll just get a couple guys and we'll take the teacher's gun. And then we'll be armed inside the school.
Yeah, that could be potentially dangerous. I know right now you mentioned, having ex-military, veterans, individuals like that be able to do some of the school security. I know the programs that are out there that are willing to do that for free for many schools, aren't they? I mean, they're just wanting to help out in the community. They're retired, may not have a lot going on. Just somebody watching the front doors and monitoring things that are happening.
That's right. In Texas and in Florida, for example, it's required to have an armed officer at every school, required by law, and that they do an assessment. But as I travel around the country doing assessments at schools, I'm just blown away by the level of normalcy bias, meaning it can't happen here. It's always in Uvalde or Parkland or Sandy Hook or Columbine. It's really not going to happen here. Denial.
Yeah, well, we never think it could. I mean, I don't know that I've told this story on this program, but I went through a school shooting myself my senior year, which I can go into details about that later on. But that simple bit of security could have potentially prevented that if we had someone that was aware and watching, because I grew up in a small school in Colorado as well, just about 45 minutes from Columbine after that happened a few years later. And it was devastating to watch something like that.
Yep.
How much of this, when you do, like you said, you go through and you do some of these assessments at these schools and they are so complacent, how many of them actually have school resource officers on hand compared to not? Because for some reason, even here in Kansas where I'm at, there's a lot of schools that don't do that, and it really kind of surprised me.
I think across the country, 75% does not have an armed SRO. That's my guess, but that's what I see.
That's strange. I didn't realize it was that bad. We're talking with Wayne Black, author of the book School Insecurity, A Comprehensive Guide to Parents and Educators on School Security, Protecting Your Children and Fostering a Safe Learning Environment. Wayne, how much, if we do have this money that's available, we're trying to find a way to beef up security, do something to help these kids, how much of it do you think needs to be focused on not just the security side of it, but also maybe the mental health side of things? We've read a stat a few weeks ago that said that fifth graders today have the same level of anxiety as a patient that was in a mental hospital in the 1980s. as a fifth grader. And that's insane, which would explain a lot of the reason why we see some of the school shootings that we see, why we see some of the violent outbursts and some of the fights that go on, the stabbings and so on and so forth. How much do you think we need to focus on and beef up the mental health side with psychologists? Or I think it's very strange, and I haven't quite wrapped my head around this, but there's schools now putting in like calming rooms where they can go in and just decompress for a few minutes, or their quote unquote safe spaces. I don't understand that mindset personally myself, but at the same time, with that leveling of anxiety, do you think we need to start looking at that side of it as well to just calm these kids down?
Well, the mental health aspect is a large part of the equation. We need to do it. The schools need to have a plan to identify observable concerning behavior. We call it OCB, and report it properly. Look, kids have stressors nowadays, and adolescents have problems coping with stress. But then, typically, a school shooter comes from a broken home. They stay up all night watching video games. They go to a doctor, and they put them on psychotropic drugs. They're stressed out, and then they copycat. They see guys that, and I'm not going to mention any names, that do these school shootings, and they want to be like them. So they're loners. So there's a profile of kids that shoot up schools. And schools need to have a plan to identify them and get them some help or get them out of the school.
Yeah. We see cases all the time, and I'm sure you're aware of this as well, Wayne, that a lot of the friends of the individuals that end up becoming these shooters, they say, well, we saw a post, but we never really took it seriously. We didn't know he would actually do something like that. He was reserved, maybe bullied a little bit, having a down time, some problems at home with the family, whatever the case may be. But we didn't think he would actually do something like that. That's kind of insane to think that that would be a possibility. So we just didn't report it. Is that a main issue we have right now?
It sure is. Look, all these shooters give red flags. A lot of them call their friends and say, don't come to school tomorrow, something's going to happen. And none of these school shooters snap. We always think, well, they snap. No, they decide, they plan, they go to the range, they reload a bunch of magazines. So there's all those red flags that people around them would get. Sometimes they injure animals close to them, like what happened in the Parkland shooting. And that was the perfect storm for red flags. So, yeah, we need to do everything. But mostly we need to harden the schools, and it's not that expensive to do it. Just need a commitment, an apolitical commitment from school boards.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sad that we have to. It breaks my heart that we have to talk about this issue because it should be an open, welcoming, community-oriented place where anybody can just walk in, talk to their kids, do what they need to do. But unfortunately, that's not the world that we live in today, and this needs to be just kind of some common sense practices. Moving forward. Wayne, last question for you as we start to wrap things up here, but as you travel across the country, you talk to these schools, you give them your recommendations, are we getting better? And do you think, even though with some of the denial going on, are schools getting better at focusing on this issue for that preventative service?
Yes, they are, but I can't be everywhere. We can't be everywhere, so that's the reason I wrote the book as a guidebook. And it's just a matter of time before another school shooting happens. Again, this is a guidebook for parents. It's on Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, and on my website, wayneblack.com. It's a guidebook.
I love it. wayneblack.com. Go and check it out. Also, check out the book, School Insecurity, a comprehensive guide to parents and educators on school security, protecting your children and fostering a safe learning environment. Keep up the fight, my friend. Thank you for what you're doing and trying to keep our kids safe across the nation. We'd love to chat with you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, appreciate it very much. All right, right back after this here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back into it. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Always a pleasure to have you. Right, thanks again to Wayne of Black coming on the show. Finding ways to keep our kids safe across the nation. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, as a conservative, I'm like, I don't really like government spending. I don't want government doing more programs. And really, do we really, really need school safety, school security stuff? Like, it should be a place where we all come together. We take care of our children. We educate them. And communities love them and take care of them and protect them as well. Unfortunately, that's not the way the world is today. And as I mentioned, yeah, I went through a school shooting myself. And it was pretty devastating. It was my senior year of high school. You can look it up. It was Platte Canyon High School in Bailey, Colorado, 2006 in September. So it's actually coming up for the anniversary next week, actually. As it's a small school. I mean, it was a little bitty mountain school. Total of 400 kids in the entire high school. My graduating class was, I don't know, like 98 students, 112 students, whatever it was. So it was a relatively small school. Everybody knew everybody. And it was not a student. It was someone who came up from Denver, which was about 45 minutes away from where our little mountain town was. He wrote like an 18-page suicide letter, let his family know that they would be regretting the things that he did as he went out, but it's something that he had to do. Walked into our school with a hoodie and a backpack, walked into a classroom, which was right above the room that I was in. I was in the computer lab downstairs. He went into an English classroom upstairs, fired off a shot. Kept six of the girls in the class, told everybody else to get out, and in his backpack, he had some adult things and ended up harming these girls for hours. This happened right at about 10 o'clock, about 10:15 in the morning, and by the end of it, police were there. We had a school resource officer trying to negotiate with him within minutes of the lockdown happening, and he just said it would be done at 4 o'clock. That was it. It would be over at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, the SWAT team blew the hole in the wall and charged into the room. And at that time, there was one girl left, which he ended up shooting. And she tried to run away, shot her, killed her, and then turned the gun on himself before the SWAT team could do it as well. Very devastating. She was a good friend of mine. I actually had just had class with her in my classroom the period beforehand. So I had seen her literally 10 minutes before it happened. And it was a very unfortunate event. We were good friends, and it was very sad. But those are the telltale signs where, again, it was an adult in his mid-40s that could have been prevented. We could have prevented something like that with basic security, which they did implement afterwards, having parents volunteer, having people volunteer, having another security guard with locked doors to check everybody that's actually coming in and out of the building. That's what we had to do, and it was unfortunate. So it is a devastating event, and so many kids have to go through this trauma. Whether it's one of the school members and a child, or whether it was someone from the community that just lost their mind, the mental health issue is very real, and we have to focus on it. All right, let's go to the phones here, shall we? 844-747-8868, if you want to jump on. Let's go to William on WSIC. William, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, Andy, thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry that you had to witness that and go through that school shooting at your school. I have a similar story to that, but it has been a lifetime ago. But I know what you're going through, brother. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. You know, mental health is a big, major issue that we need to address. We need to try to make it fun for these kids, get the troubled kids some help first and foremost, and then help the kids, you know, by making some video games fun, not violence.
Yeah, it's strange. It's weird that, again, that's the stress they have to go through. I mean, I remember going through tornado drills as a kid, never had to go through like a school lockdown shooter scenario as a kid. And we talk about anxiety in the classroom. That would do that, I think.
Yeah, it would. It would. And that's, you know, that's the society that we're in now. Unfortunately, it's just the way it is. And when I have my grandbabies at the house, there's no video games. There's no TV or anything like that. Sometimes they call me the Mad Pawpaw. But, you know, it is what it is. I try to raise my grandbabies like I raised their parents, my kids. But anyway, as far as Washington, D.C. goes, I've got an idea for you as far as costume party issues or whatever. I say dress them up in clown suits because we already got the elephant representing the Republican. We've already got the Democrat representing the donkey. And we definitely have lions and tigers and bears up there. So just put them all in clown suits because it's definitely a three-ring circus.
I like that. I like that idea. I think that we should have skeletons and clowns. That would be the makeup of Congress if they were allowed to wear their Halloween costumes up in Washington, D.C.
I know that sounded, that was a hard, I apologize to the public that's listening. I know that's a hard bash on the clown because clowns can be funny to watch. And but, you know, it's just, that's the kind of thing that's going on up there in Washington, D.C. The lack of seriousness that we're needing to address all of our problems, safety being number one in our country, which is being jeopardized right now, horrifically. And, you know, we got these clowns up there in Washington, D.C. doing what they're doing. It's just, it appalls me. I just don't understand it, Andy.
I am right there with you. It makes my brain hurt when I try to understand their logic. Look, I may be conservative, but I'm open to good ideas when good ideas are presented and when someone has a logical thought process. Even if I don't agree with it, I can at least respect it if I can understand the thought process. But half the stuff that goes on up there, I don't understand the thought process at all. William, I appreciate the call, my friend. Very good stuff. I love it. The clown suit, the way to dress them up. And by the way, keep being that crazy grandpa without the TV or video games. Well done on that. Represent, my friend. Lots more coming up. Hour number two right around the corner on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yes, indeed. What's up? Welcome into it. It's hour number two of the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd out for the day today, getting all healed up after his fall. Made me cringe, man, when I heard that story. Thoughts and prayers to him, and hopefully he gets on the speedy recovery very soon. Andy Hoosier filling in as we shift the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas on my flagship station out here. And it's great to have you along with us today. Bottom of this hour, Rachel Ehrenfeld. She is the author of the book, The Soros Agenda, George Soros. Or now, I guess we should say Alex Soros, taking over the family farm, essentially, and what the political agenda is moving forward with the Soros family, what they're trying to focus on, what they're trying to do in the nation. Kind of some scary stuff, so we'll talk about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got a lot to talk about, obviously, and it's open lines to you as well at 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868 if you want to jump on the Todd Starnes radio program. Thanks into our guests and callers last hour as well. I want to, however, there's some news that, and I'm going to have to be careful here because this makes me very, there are very few things in the world that make me angry. I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. I kind of go with the flow, and not a whole lot really gets to me. There are very few things that just boil me beyond belief that make me angrier than really that trigger me. I guess that's the word today, right? The triggering. You're triggered! That trigger me, and that is maybe a controversial topic here on this program with some of the listeners, and that's, of course, with what's going on with the UAW strike and how that could be affecting the economy right now. Now, I will be very open to this, and if you disagree with me, more than welcome to call in and discuss it because I want to hear your thoughts. But I have never, again, now never, I'm relatively young, 34, but I have never been a fan of labor unions. Can I just put it out there? Not a fan. I've never supported them. I've never liked them. And in fact, when I was in college and I had the opportunity to try and get a job while I was in college, I interviewed at a few places, and when they told me I had to be part of the union in order to work there, I walked out of the interview. I couldn't do it. I've never been a fan. I believe that unions, labor unions in general, are the collective bargaining from a socialist mindset, not from the individual power that we have at the government and the media and the powers at be today try to steer us away from, saying that you don't have the power as an individual. You need us to do it for you because you're helpless. And I don't like that idea. I've never liked that mindset, and when people try to tell me that, I rebel even more from them. So if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you there, but this has been taken to another level. Regardless of what you think of unions, which we can have the conversation of whether unions had a purpose back in the day to make better working conditions, to get better working hours, to get proper pay, I understand the conversation back then, today not so much, because now, to me, the argument we're seeing now is ways for unions to justify that they're still relevant. Now, I want to preface this by saying that there are 14.3 million workers across the nation that are members of some form of unions. And I get it. There's a lot of them. I grew up in the Ohio area in the Rust Belt where everybody was part of the UAW. My grandfather was part of the UAW when he worked for GM for 30 years as an electrician, who just passed away back in April this year. God rest his soul. I live in the Kansas area now, Wichita, Kansas, where we have the aviation industry. Very large labor area. And I get the flack for it because there are a lot of individuals who are a part of those unions. But overall, union participation is on the way down across the nation. And I have a new theory that the UAW strike right now is them trying to get back on the map to boost up their membership participation with more and more states that are jumping on board with right-to-work laws. If you don't know what a right-to-work law is, it's the ability for you to choose when you join a company whether you want to join the union or not. You know, options, freedom, the free market capitalist system. What a wild concept! Where you get to choose whether you want to participate or not instead of mandating it and saying you must do it or else you can't work here. I don't like that. By the way, that 14.3 million union workers is roughly 11% of the entire workforce in the nation, which is down about 0.5% from this same time last year. And it's been on the decline for the last couple decades, little by little by little. Now, the strike that we're seeing right now is a massive upheaval of the entire workforce. And we wonder why we see jobs going overseas and the manufacturing going overseas. And regardless of how this union strike is going to pan out, I've been saying this for the last week or so, that we're going to see prices increase on cars. If we go a long stint of time with the protest, which last time this happened, what was it, like 2015, 2017, whatever it was, that they went on for 6 weeks. If we go 6 weeks without producing a lot of vehicles because things are falling behind, then we're going to see prices go up. Obviously, in the supply-demand chain that we have, there's less supply, there's still a demand, prices are going to go up. If we do see them get it, let's just theoretically say they get everything that they want to in this union strike, prices are going to go up because this is going to be a major hit on the bottom line for these companies. They jack up the price for the vehicles to offset that, along with the inflation from the wrecked Biden economy, and boom, we have higher prices for vehicles as well. But they're looking at four different demands right now. And the funny part is that now that we're almost a week into this strike, even the United Auto Workers president, Sean Fain, according to NPR.org, says that he even admits that the demands that they're asking for the big three automakers are, quote, audacious. We know we're not going to get all this stuff. We know that this is a little absurd to ask for this, which, by the way, is a 40% increase in pay, which would put the average worker to roughly $47 an hour. Show of hands, everybody. How many of you are working and making $47 an hour? Unless you have some sort of like college degree, and I could be wrong, but unless you're in one of the specialties as an engineer or a plumber or something like that where you need a certification, I don't know that the average individual working on the assembly line is making $47, almost $50 an hour. But that's what that would bring it up to with a 40% increase. On top of that, they want the protections every time inflation goes up for their rate to go up automatically as well. Sounds reasonable, right? Yeah, like because everybody else gets to do that. At the same time, I've said this many times. I don't want to go down this road here necessarily on the program because Todd's covered this quite a bit. However, there is a major difference on how to approach this issue from doing the hamster wheel process that we've always done with work. Inflation goes up because the government spends too much. They print too much money. They spend too much at the federal level. They expand too much. Whatever. We have inflation. Things get more expensive to buy. We go to the union. We tell the union to make us better wages. They go after the company. That battle happens. They cave. We get the more money. And then the prices go up because it's more expensive for the business to operate. So they jack up their prices for the goods. Everybody, including the union worker now, has to pay more for the product, which causes inflation, which means we have to go back and get more money. The ongoing hamster wheel over and over and over again. Or, if we don't want to go down the road of definition of insanity, we could try something different, which would be a little bit harder, but it's definitely feasible as well, which is make the government stop printing money, make them stop spending money, make them stop expanding the budget, stop working with the private sector and actually allow the private sector to be separate from the public sector and stop giving out subsidies and grants and all these fun little crony capitalist handouts from the federal government. And we can actually have a free market, laissez-faire, capitalist society that's not being affected by the federal government, where we have competition in the market that lowers prices, that raises quality, that raises customer service, and allows us to get back on track. Then the companies that are be held to the consumer and to the worker can raise prices based on the demand that the workers have, or else they don't have a workforce. And then they offer a reasonable price for the goods where the consumers are happy to buy it, or else they won't buy it. What a concept. And when we do that, then guess what? Even if it's not $47 an hour for a regular wage, you can live on it because things aren't as expensive to buy. It's a wild concept. It's a radical position, but that's the direction we have to go, because what we're doing right now will never solve anything in any way, shape, or form. Now, with this ongoing strike, and even with the union being like, yeah, we're taking it a little bit too far, but we're trying to correct from the recession of 2006. That's their position, is that we humbly graced the union or the auto companies and gave them leeway for not taking care of us the way that we wanted to from back in 2006 when the recession hit and we had to have all these auto bailouts and all the other issues were going on with the economy. We graced them by not pillaging the company and trying to take all the wealth. So now we're trying to come back for more of it, as they want the protections back in place. And now that we're trying to scramble, now we have an entire voter base that is members of the union, either willingly or unwillfully because of what the union told them to do, that are out striking, near 150,000 of them right now, and more could potentially be coming on board relatively soon, which means now it's political season. We have to find a way to pander to those individuals, right? As there's been a request from the auto union for both Joe Biden and Donald Trump to go out and stand on the picket line with the workers. Now, I find that hilarious for two reasons. Number one, if Donald Trump went out to picket with them, which he's apparently going to be hosting a rally out there in talking to them, a rally would be a good idea. Walking the picket line, not so good of an idea. Because he's got to appeal to the working class, which he does very well. And as you know, in 2016 and in 2020, Donald Trump has a history of being a business guy, but also being kind of a blue-collar business guy. He may be a multimillionaire or even a billionaire, but people loved him because he was a reasonable, down-home kind of guy. Donald Trump Jr. would talked about being raised on how to run a forklift and work with the blue-collar, hard-hat workers. That was the family that they grew up with. That's how they were raised, and that's a great way to be raised. So he can appeal to them very easily by talking about why they need such a crazy raise because, well, the Biden economy's failing, and we need to appeal to the worker. Now, I will warn Donald Trump that if you go down that road, to be very careful about how you present yourself, because the unions, I'll give you a little hint here, the unions don't like you. The unions don't like you at all. In fact, they advocate for you against you really, really hard. 80 to 90% of all the political campaign funds from the unions across the nation, not just the UAW, all of them go to Democrats, which, just imagine that for a second, will you? Picture this. You have a union representing workers that's funding Democrats and their progressive agenda when the progressive Democrat agenda candidates are promoting clean energy, like, I don't know, electric vehicles, where the electric vehicle industry would cut the workforce of the auto industry by near 40% because there's not as many parts in an EV as there are in vehicles that are today. You don't have to build an engine. All you have to build is a battery, and the batteries don't have as many parts. You don't have as many working tools in an EV as you do the other vehicles. So how does the union actually represent you properly when you're funding them, who's donating to Democrats who are advocating to change the industry that's going to cut your paycheck and get rid of you because you're no longer necessary? Funny how that happens. Now, the request has also been to Joe Biden to go and walk the picket line, which he said that he is open to doing and maybe doing it, although he'd have a hard time walking because, well, we don't have to go down that road. But they're offering him to go and walk the picket line with the workers. And I wonder if he'll do it. And I'm almost positive that he probably would do it. Why? Well, because he's not the brightest crayon in the box. Let's just be honest. Because if you walk the picket line and say that you're not being treated properly, you can't afford groceries, you can't afford gas, which, by the way, right now making on average about $36 an hour, plus investments in the companies, plus the retirement packages, plus everything else, the sign-on bonuses that are like $10,000 to $15,000 when you sign on. All of these things that are completely out of the average norm and the value of that type of position that the unions have worked very, very hard to do for so many years now. If you can't afford to live life on $30 an hour, then you have a serious problem. Oh, and by the way, that $47 an hour they're advocating for, that 40% bump in pay, that's also while decreasing the work week to 4 days a week instead of five, because I want more money, but I want to work less, because that makes sense. While the demand continues to be high for us to actually get things done, no, you only have to work 32 hours. If you work a regular 40 hours, now we're going to start giving you time and a half for overtime. That's wild, man. That's how loony these unions are. And Biden, in his own genius or lack thereof, is open to the idea of actually standing and picketing with them, acknowledging the fact that making anywhere between $30 to $40 to $50 an hour is not enough to live off of because his economy's so bad, so therefore we got to stick it to the man that's the evil corporation that's trying to stay in business with the not only unions coming after him, but that the federal government putting regulations on them as well on how they have to operate their business. Tell me how, on either of those situations, we live in a fair, free market, laissez-faire capitalist society with private entity that's being beholden to the consumer and not to labor unions that are socialist and the federal government that's trying to tell them how to operate their business. Oh, the world we live in today. 844-747-8868. We'll get your thoughts on this when we come back. Agree, disagree with me. Where do we go from here with this UAW strike and how can it affect the overall economy? We'll take a break right here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes Radio Program, 844-747-8868. Always a pleasure to have you with us for the ride. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd today. The ongoing union strike right now could be disastrous to the economy and close to $5 billion. If this goes on for, what they say, 6 to 7 weeks, $5 billion worth of income taxes that could be removed because, well, people are protesting the tens of millions of dollars that could be lost in the economy. Of course, then the supply chain issues that could be causing issues as well. All while we support the union that's endorsing Democrats, that's changing the industry, that's going to cut the jobs that you're trying to fight for with the really, really high absurd wages right now. And I'm sure that when those workers end up losing their jobs because we go into the electric vehicle industry, they're going to be just a little bit upset.
He took his job! He took it, girl! Took it!
All right, let's go to the phone, shall we? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Hope in North Carolina. Hope, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Listen, I'm thinking I got a really easy fix for at least putting a dent in things, okay?
I like
it. Instead of America striking all the time or striking out, whatever, okay? I say we buck up, all right? Mm. If everyone put $1 in on their paycheck, just one, if we can not see our insurance payments, why can't you just like have a checkbox where I'm giving that buck, okay? I think of Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think all of us can miss a dollar easy.
And if
we
love
add that up to the working public, and we make sure that the money takes a true trip to where it belongs, just put it at the deficit.
Yeah.
There we go.
It is funny how badly the party, especially the Democrat Party, has devolved all these years when, like you said, with Kennedy all the way back when, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That mindset has gone to the wayside because now the only way Democrats have any voters in this nation is to see how many people we can buy off and we can give them free goodies. And this union thing is no different right now, is it?
Well, I guess, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about that part because that man took $1 for his paycheck as president, you know? Yeah. And it's time, if we're going to constitutionalize everything, it's time that we the people do something about what we're all bitching about. Excuse my French or whatever language you want to call that.
No, but I agree.
Know, the government is to the point that they need a bit of a leg up as long as they stop making the money. I hear that part too, you know. But we need to turn the woe is me into a grow is me, and I guess I'll stop there. It's hard to be named Hope and watch this all go on.
Well, Hope, you have a great idea, and we need more people that's fighting for that idea. And I wish that Republicans as the party as a whole would get on board with that as well and stand their ground and actually have the principles to be willing to fight for it. Because every time we get challenged or we get criticized or we get threatened or we get accused of even cutting any of these programs, and like you said, the hand up, not the handout, which is what we're all about. We don't want people to fail, but guess how we take care of them? We do it in the local communities. The local community helps out. Your neighbor, your family, your friends, your loved ones, the community nonprofit in your local town, they're the ones that help you. The federal government, you can see how efficient or lack thereof that actually works. Hope we appreciate that. Thanks for the call. Lots more coming up around the corner. Rachel Ehrenfeld, when we come back, what is this big government agenda run by the George Soros Foundations? Lots more coming up. Stay here.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
And who's your phone in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program, 844-747-8868. If you want to jump on to the show, we'd love to hear from you. This union issue continues to get worse. Oh, by the way, you want to hear how great socialism is? Here's how great this is, again, with the union. And you can disagree with me. I know that there's probably some union listeners, and that's okay. And if you like your union, I want to understand why. I truly do want to understand. I've always said, even if I don't agree with the stance, I can at least understand the thought process there. And I'll at least respect it, even though I may not agree with it. But some of the arguments that they're going for, what they're trying to stand for, includes, and this is the four arguments that they're making during this strike here from the UAW, ending the two-tier system for wages and benefits, meaning that we should all get paid the same, whether you've been there for 30 years or whether you are a brand new hire, you should all be paid the same. It's all the collective. It's all together. Everybody needs to be paid the same. We don't want you to be paid differently because you know what you're doing because you've been there for 30 years and you're tenured in. No, you should be paid the same as the new guy that's green, that's fresh, that's just coming in, that just got his massive sign-on bonus, and he's going to get paid the exact same as you. That, to me, didn't make any sense. All right, let's get to our guest here as we shift gears just a little bit, as we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines, as we talk about this big government agenda, because there is a massively big government agenda that we need to be aware of. And it's being pushed in many realms by a certain individual, or at least a certain family, and all the organizations that they run as well, that seems to be behind the scenes in everything that goes on around this country. Happy to have on the program, excited to have her on this program as I fill in for Todd Starnes for today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. She is author of the book, The Soros Agenda. She's also the founder and president for the American Center for Democracy at the Economic Warfare Institute. Happy to have on here at Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. Rachel, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am excited to get you on here. What a world we live in today right now, isn't it? We have this massive push for socialism, whether it's the union strikes, whether it's the just the government promoting new government programs, trying to centralize power. And it all seems to be dictated by this mindset behind the scenes from some very, very wealthy individuals that want this to happen because that's apparently a successful way to operate. And it seems like the Soros family continues to be behind so many of these issues, aren't they?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Although I don't think it's socialism that they are promoting socialism anymore. It is really globalism, neo-communism. That's what they are promoting. It's gone beyond socialism. So it's everything is being dictated from the top. The president is using executive orders, doesn't go to Congress for anything. He spends endless amounts of money on whatever he feels like or whatever he's being told he should spend it on by whoever is handling him. Many top officials at the administration are linked with Soros one way or the other. Many have also worked with the Obama administration. So what we are having is really the destruction of the constitutional republic of the United States. We are losing our individual freedoms. We are losing everything that America has been known for and what the Constitution actually, which the country is based on, has actually says. So this is not good.
No, it's not good. And they've been chipping away at it for a long time. Whenever they just started the fourth branch of government, this bureaucratic agencies, they've really started chipping away little by little to the point that we've gotten to today. And they're getting anxious. They're getting annoyed. I mean, we heard Bernie Sanders in the last presidential election say that he wanted to complete the FDR New Deal agenda and complete this because it's gone on for so long that they're getting anxious and they're so close they can almost taste it. And yet they're not quite there. We heard the story from just a couple of months ago about Alex Soros, the son of George Soros, that's essentially taking over the family operations, especially in the political side, because George is aging out of it. And Alex has already been seen at the White House multiple times talking with the Biden family and the administration. What do you think those meetings are about? And I know that Alex says that he wants to be more politically engaged than even his father, which is kind of a wild thought because they are already wickedly, wildly politically active. But is Alex more of a threat? And what do you think all these meetings have been like in the White House so far?
Well, I think it would be interesting to look at the timing of the meetings and timing of new executive orders. Or some new diktats from this secretary or another secretary. I think it would be interesting. And he doesn't meet only with officials at the White House. He meets with officials in different government offices, different government agencies all the time. Those have not been identified. And he meets with them all the time in social circumstances. So, for example, now the U.S. General Assembly is on, the Clinton Foundation is on, and there are many, many celebrities and many, many globalists that are participating in these meetings, and you can find Alex Soros everywhere, meeting with many people. He just met again with, I actually met with Biden a few days ago, so you can find him everywhere. He has the official announcement actually started, Alex Soros started in his new position as the as running the Open Society Foundations back in January, but the official announcement was made in June, and it was a glorified, really, advertisement in the Wall Street Journal. And, yeah, he said that he wants to, he is more political. And with a war chest of $25 billion, he can afford to be as political as he wants. His father was as political, but he made less statements. However, his father was well-known. He was considered as a maverick financially. Alex inherited everything. He is not that well-known, and he is not as experienced as his father, although he had been groomed to do this for a long time. George took him around in 2018, around the world, really, to meet with different prime ministers and presidents in different places, and he has been participating in international meetings, international organizations of all kind. So he even took Bill Clinton to meet with the Pope in July. So now the Pope is also supporting actions against global warming, which is a big thing, not only for the Clintons, because they make so much money from it, on it. They will get now $25 billion from the U.S. government through the World Bank. This is crazy. To help Ukraine and global warming. Yeah, they help global warming, actually, because they fly so much.
Well, that's the agenda. They know that if they can influence environmental policy, if they can take over the environment and talk about global warming or global cooling or climate change, whatever it may be, then that's just a way for them to centralize that power, because the government does so well at taking care of us, especially when it comes to the environment. Rachel, we got just a couple of minutes here before we have to let you go, but I do want to ask you one more question, and that's on the Republican side of things of the candidate of Vivek Ramaswamy, because I know that there was some discussion before about how he had accepted money from an organization that was run by the Soroses. And I know it wasn't George Soros' foundation himself, but his brother's organization helping migrants that have come in to get scholarships to go to schools. But is that a cause for concern for many Republican voters that are considering Vivek as a potential presidential candidate?
I don't know if it should be. I don't think so. He applied for the grant. He received it on his own merit, and he should have been stupid not to take it. He was not political at the time, as far as I understand. And not everybody who received such grants, although many, went on to continue and work with Soros and promote his agenda. Many just took the money and graduated from school and did whatever they wanted to do. Another example of somebody who received money from Soros and is not exactly friendly with him, not big fan of him, is Viktor Orban from Hungary. Actually, Soros considers him an enemy because Orban is refusing to do what Soros intended him to do and what he planned to do with Hungary. So, you know, I don't think, and from what Vivek is saying, it doesn't seem that he actually thinks like Soros or wants to do things like Soros. You never know with politicians, but anyway, for now, he doesn't seem like he's been influenced by anything, just finished his studies, and have been very successful. But I lay out all Soros' agenda, the plans, and the strategies he has been using to implement them, and it's important for anybody who wants to, it's important to know thy enemy if you want to counter his activities. So it's not only the money giving, it's how. It's the strategies that they are using. And therefore, the Soros agenda is a very important read for people who really want to fight this.
Amen to that. It is the Soros agenda. You need to know the enemy. You need to know exactly what they're up against and what we're up against as they continue to slowly but surely manipulate the society in general until we won't be able to recognize it any longer. Rachel, we got to wrap you up. It's Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. Go check it out, the Soros agenda. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the program. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. Right back here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to it. Hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it as well, which is pretty awesome, because now in this day when we see, you know, segregation in the economy, it's time to support businesses like that. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you actually care about. And now you can do it. Switch to Patriot Mobile right now and use promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadband nationwide coverage and uses the same towers that other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users as well. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and your free premier activation by using promo code Todd right now. For more information and details, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT with Patriot Mobile right here on the Todd Starnes radio show. All right, 844-747-8868, the George Soros agenda. We see government growing, and next hour you're going to have your mind blown with what they're trying to promote now as they continue down this road. The breadcrumbs are there. We see it every day. We see what they're trying to do. And we have to be, it's unfortunate because we have to do the multifaceted awareness to try and fight this off day in and day out. I would think, though, and this is kind of upsetting to me, honestly, you know that we have kids that rebel against their parents, and they rebel against everything. Like, I don't want to do what you do. So they end up setting their own path. And normally it's the parents that are conservative Republican, the kids that are somewhat progressive Democrat because, well, you know, the evil Republicans. And then they end up growing up, they go to college, they get out of college, they go to work. And then they realize how much tax money is being taken out, and they realize how expensive things are. And then kind of the light bulb hits them, and, oh, wow, maybe I should actually not support these type of agendas. And that's normally the way things go. What do they say? That if you're young and Republican, you have no heart. If you're an adult and a Democrat, then you have no brain. And I guess that makes sense, although I've been Republican my entire life. But you would think, and it really kind of disheartens me, because George Soros, while he has all this money and all this power, I get it. Alex Soros grew up in an elite family. He grew up with all this money. He grew up with all this influence and power, and thinks that just because his dad was able to manipulate the entire world, that he has the ability to do so as well. But, man, I really wish that whole idea would have played out of trying to rebel against good old daddy and doing your own thing. And just imagine if Alex Soros came in as a conservative, like, you know, some of these agendas really didn't quite work out too well for some people, and he could have changed it. But no, of course, they have to go down daddy's line in this sense as well. So now they're fighting for the Soros agenda. They're fighting for the socialist progressive agenda of consuming everything. After Obamacare, the consumption of a sixth of the economy into the federal government, the centralization of that power, the, as we mentioned, the Bernie Sanders mindset of completing the FDR Great New Deal, where we need to take care of the vast majority of the public. We need to centralize that power. We need to grow the bureaucratic state. We need to grow these social programs. And now they're going after Medicare and Medicaid with the continued expansion of health care. They're going after the child tax credit. I mean, the universal basic income that we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic. The social experiment that was COVID with the entire lockdowns and just taking care of everyone. Because remember, you, your business, your mom and pop shop, that was a non-essential business and you weren't allowed to actually take care of yourself, open up and actually make a profit. You're not allowed to do that. Don't worry. We're from the government and we're here to help. Remember those words? Some of the scariest words in the English language, according to Ronald Reagan. And we've forgotten that mindset. Oh, how the times have changed. The sad part is, and here's going a little bit deeper and a little bit down the road with the younger generation doesn't want to focus on those issues. According to the latest stats, the young generation, by that I mean 35 and under, the conservative Republican younger generation of 35 and under, which I guess I fall into that category, but I don't associate with them. I promise I don't associate with the millennial generation as much as I begrudgingly am part of them. They reckon that the latest poll shows that the Republicans that are the younger crowd do not see economic issues as the number one priority. In fact, they see the social issues, the LGBTQ, the abortion issues. They want dialogue and conversation on those. The economy, economic issues are not the main priority for the majority of them. And while I see we need to engage in that conversation, at the same time, we kind of need to focus on the economy because we can't have those conversations unless the economy is stable. And that's the way that they're going to take control. But the Soros agenda is real. In fact, the nonprofit organizations under the Soros Foundation has bought up a massive amount, more than a couple dozen different newspaper companies along the East Coast. Now, just think about that for a second. Why, oh, why would the Soros family and foundations, now they claim that we had nothing to do with it. It was just a company that we own, but we had no decision making. We didn't have anything to do with that decision when we ended up buying them, but ended up buying more than a dozen newspaper companies in Massachusetts and that area to take over and run, which you can say follow the money. But what is that going to do to the propaganda out there? I don't know that it would essentially change a whole lot of the mindset there, since it is a relatively deep blue area on the East Coast. But if it's spreading like wildfire, and if the newspapers, whoever still reads newspapers in the hard print, if that is a cause for concern, we already know that they've gone more progressive in their reporting. Imagine what it's going to be like when a Soros organization is funding and running that group. And running the newspaper and the news, quote, I use that in air quotes here, the news that you're going to read on a daily basis. It's very concerning. Lots more coming up. One more hour of the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed it is. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes today as he is out and about healing himself, out getting the scans and whatever he does to get himself better. I've been thinking about him. Thoughts and prayers to him as he continues to heal after his fall and breaking his ankle. I've broken one thing in my entire body, my hand. I was a middle school football and I got hit in the hit the helmet of somebody else, and that hurt. But that's the only time I've ever actually broken anything, and it wasn't even a cool story. It was just practice. That made me sad. At least I should have a cool story about, like, I was, you know, doing some awesome dive over somebody about ready to score the game-winning touchdown of the game, and I got hit and spun around, flipped over three times, and landed in the end zone, won the game, and broke my hand. It wasn't cool like that. I literally just got hit in practice, and it was bad. But thoughts and prayers to Todd as he continues to heal and out and about. Andy Hoosier filling in as we move the Liberty University Studios out to Wichita, Kansas today. And it's great to have you with us. Cheryl Chumley will be joining us bottom of this hour. We will talk about her latest book and the issue, The Gift That Keeps on Giving, the issue with the great state of New Mexico and their governor and the suspension of the Second Amendment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that's going to fare out, as that is the latest breadcrumb of the centralization of power, the essentially the Soros agenda, the socialist mindset and the control the federal government's trying to have. And it's doing it from Democrats who have slipped up just a little bit and released their plan a little bit too soon. So we'll talk with Cheryl coming up at the bottom of the hour, which means it's open lines to you again at 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. I told you the story a couple hours ago of the shooting that happened at my school, my senior year of high school. And I appreciate the farewells. It is unfortunate that we've had some of the same individuals from my class and my school that are now advocates for gun control. And I've seen many of their writings in the Denver Post since it happened in the state of Colorado, advocating for gun violence. And myself, who went through the exact same event, have been on the pro-Second Amendment side in realizing that no gun control whatsoever could have prevented a situation like that. In fact, there was nothing anybody could have done except for maybe focus on mental health issues on why a 40-some-odd middle-aged man wrote an 18-page suicide letter to his family, drove 45 minutes out of town into a small little mountain town, and decided to do something horrendous before ending his life. And not to show pity on that, but it is coming up for the anniversary of September of 2006, my senior year of high school, the beginning of that senior year of high school in Bailey, Colorado. You can look it up at Platte Canyon High School. In fact, the video, I think, was one that caught me walking from the school as we went to our another school, another issue, whole other conversation. But the only thing that could have prevented that was a conversation on mental health to make sure that people are okay and not wanting to harm themselves like that in any way, shape, or form. But this individual did. But he didn't have any prior. Here's the wild part. There is nothing that could have been done to stop him from obtaining a firearm. He already had it. He had his handgun. He had no priors. He passed background checks. He owned his firearm legally. So what in that situation could have been done to stop him from wanting to go out of his way, find a remote location up in the mountains away from civilization, essentially, because we were kind of rural up there, and to do such a horrible act? Because now we see crimes all over the country, not just school shootings that I don't want to focus on the entire segment here or the entire hour, but school shootings to general crime that's on the rise across the nation. And you look at the agenda from the Soros and the attorney generals and the county attorneys that we see all over the nation that continue to just try to get rid of bonds, you know, bail bonds to make sure that people are going to be held accountable to show up in court, just walking out of jail and the government taking over that. We can look at the depression and anxiety in the nation, largely from the economy that the Biden administration has promoted. We can look at the fear and the segregation and the hatred that this administration and the mainstream media has promoted for however many years, even before Donald Trump and even during Donald Trump, when Donald Trump was the most evil, horrible human being on the face of the earth. They've continued to create this world, this environment, this idea of paranoia and fear and anger and hatred, and has even gone to the point of the Biden administration saying that anyone that supports Donald Trump or is a MAGA supporter or is a Republican in general is probably a domestic terrorist who clings to their guns and Bibles and refuses to let go. And they've created that word. They created that. That wasn't us creating it ourselves. That was them labeling us as such. Now, as you know, with the ongoing cycle of time, that ignorance, the lack of understanding, the definition of ignorance, the lack of understanding of someone else, that ignorance breeds fear. That fear breeds hatred. That hatred breeds violence. And that's exactly at the stage that we're at today. I've said this many times on my show, on Todd's show, everywhere else, that when you have ignorance, that's what leads down that road. And while I may not agree with somebody on their stance, if I can understand logically how they get to the conclusion they get to with supporting a certain policy, I'll respect it. We may not have to agree with it, but we can respect it. You know what? You have your view. I have my view. We'll agree to disagree on a particular issue. That's not the way that we operate today. Thanks to social media, the Democrats, the mainstream media, we have this is the way it is. And if you don't agree with us, then you're probably a Nazi. You're probably a fascist. You're probably a horrible human being. And you're probably the worst person on the face of the earth, like Donald Trump. And now we're going to silence you. The wonderful, open-minded, accepting vision of the Democrat Party right now. Well, it gets even better. And as we talk about the suspension of the Second Amendment in New Mexico, we'll do that in just a little bit. There's now a new push from the Biden administration, who is struggling and desperate in the polls. You might want to cover up your desperation showing, because now they're looking at ways to do something. Now, as you know, that was the argument that was made from the governor of New Mexico with the suspension of the Second Amendment, or at least the suspension of permits and being able to open carry or concealed carry within the Albuquerque area for those couple of counties, that they had to do something. And as the governor, it was her duty to do something. And therefore, we're going to suspend constitutional rights because your constitutional rights are not absolute. Well, the Democrats have always used that argument when a shooting happens. Instead of looking at the individual and be like, well, that person was kind of messed up. Well, that person had a lot of anxiety. Well, that person had some mental health issues. Well, we should have caught that person. Because even when we do try to put red tape laws in effect, or red flag laws in effect, and when we do try to screen people, even that used to work in the government that had red flags on their record, they were still able to obtain firearms. But with all that, now we have to do something. And while the polls continue to decline for the Biden administration and the Democrats going into paranoia where they could lose their, apparently the only person capable of the job, which is the 80-plus-year-old Joe Biden that can't remember his name and shuffles around the floor all the place, he would be a fun one that would have static electricity, you think? The way he shuffles his feet, you could... That'd be kind of fun. Anyways, the Biden administration is their only hope, apparently, moving forward, because Gavin Newsom's very unpopular. Michelle Obama has no political collateral with her at all. They don't know who else to put in there, which is their own fault. They have to hype up Joe Biden, accept that he may not last his entire administration, and hope that Kamala Harris is able to clean up her act in order to gain her popularity among the masses and the Democrat Party as well. So in order to do that, they just have to find a way to do things. The student loan issue, we will get it done. And if the Congress does not approve it, we'll just do it ourselves. Spoken like a true Barack Obama-ite, as Joe Biden goes down that same road, as Joe Biden is now releasing, and this is the foreseeing into the future, what's going to happen on Friday with the announcement of a new bureaucratic agency and a new office at the federal level. According to Politico.com, President Joe Biden will be announcing on Friday the first ever Federal Office of Gun Violence Prevention. Oh, my. Gun Violence Prevention Office at the federal level. I don't even know exactly what that's supposed to do, but they're apparently going to create this office to try and study and prevent gun violence. Now, my wicked wild conspiracy theory, put your tinfoil hat on for just a second, was the announcement from the state of New Mexico and the governor down there. That was just the prelude. That was the tease. And I think she did it out of step with Democrats trying to get ahead of it because she wanted to be the wicked, wild, cool, popular one for a potential political future on the grander scale by doing it first. And I think that this turned out horribly for the Democrats, which is why it's the gift that keeps on giving for us on the Republican side, who enjoy our Second Amendment and who recognize that the government doesn't give us our rights, but the government's role is to protect rights that are God-given already, that she just trampled all over them. And it was the end goal for the Democrat Party in general. And she was the one that ended up getting a little trigger happy, pun intended, and fired it off before anyone else was able to do so. According to Politico.com, White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention would build on the already tremendous record. I'm going to try and say this without laughing. The tremendous record of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on gun safety. According to the executive director of Giffords, Peter Ambler, Quote, this has been a top priority of ours for years, and it would provide an important center of gravity for leadership across the administration as the president and vice president implement the historic bipartisan Safer Communities Act and continue to push Congress to pass legislation to help save lives. The hiring of Greg and Rob would show how serious the administration takes its responsibility to address this crisis. I don't know what any of that means. I don't know what the purpose of this office is. And if they create this new office, what exactly would they be doing? Would they have the ability? I'm sure that they're going to be working with the ATF. I'm sure they're going to be working under the fourth branch of government that's under the executive branch, to where we're going to see more executive orders. We're going to see a lack of involvement with Congress, who's the ones that are actually representing you, and that they're going to push whatever agenda they want without the consent of the American people, because by golly, we're doing it for you. We're here to take care of you. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Now, according to this, the executive director of Community Justice Action Fund, Greg Jackson, along with Rob Wilcock, the senior director for the Federal Government Affairs at Every Town for Gun Safety, hilarious, are expected to hold key roles in the office alongside others who've been working on gun policy for more than a decade and still oversee policies within the White House, according to reports from the Washington Post. This has been leaked out, and the announcement set to come on Friday. This is the breadcrumbs, my friends. This is the direction that we're going. No longer, just like with the auto unions and the economy and how bad the economy is and trying to do the right thing to turn it around, we just continue to do the hamster wheel and the definition of what insanity is, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. This is what they're on path to do with gun control. And while you and I recognize that gun rights are, yeah, the right to protect ourselves, I use the three pillars of conservatism: the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to private property. Well, guess what? The firearm is my private property. It's also my ability to defend my life and the lives of my family. And I'm going to train my family, including my 9-year-old daughter, who's getting to that age now, to learn how to use a firearm properly and defend herself. But yet, while they say they have to do something, they're taking it to another level that we haven't seen yet in this nation since really the Revolutionary War, when they tried to take our cannons away. And you see how well that worked. Between taking cannons away and raising our sales tax by 2%, they weren't having it. Us, we're like, yeah, 40% tax rate and we're not allowed to have a firearm. That's cool. Don't worry about it. We'll just go along about our day and get mad about it and start a trend on the Tweety. Because that's apparently how we resolve issues in today's times. This is a desperate attempt from the Biden administration to boost up the polls, because the vulnerability Democrats have right now, even in the anarchy, chaos state that the Republican Party is in right now, they're still struggling. They still don't have a popular platform, and they're trying to figure out ways to boost it. So even with the unpopular agenda of going after the economy and guns, they're still ramming it through, knowing that will be there for them even when they gain power again, whether it's in the next election or once down the line when the pendulum swings all over again. 844-747-8868. What do we do to combat this, and what do you think this new gun violence prevention office may look like under the Biden regime? Right back after this here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Back into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in here. 844-747-8868. If you want to jump on the show. Hey, I know that hopefully you're aware of this, although we do sometimes have a hard time planning ahead of time and preparing ourselves, but everyone knows that the next medical crisis may be just right around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane, just like a tick bite, which I did get one of those this year, and it was very annoying. You and your family need to be prepared, and that's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. I love this. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. Dr. Fauci may not want to know about that. The medical emergency kit also provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID-19 and even a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists may throw at us. Go to twc.health/starns and order today. That's twc.health/starns. Use the promo code STARNS and save 10% on your emergency kit from the Wellness Company. We appreciate them very, very much. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go. We got a couple minutes here before the break. Let's go to Patty from North Carolina. Patty, how are you today?
Good. How are you today?
Living the dream.
Hey, listen. When we wake up, that's a dream, right?
Every day, that's right.
That's right. I want to say something. I do carry. I carry a 9mm, okay? Mm. I'm 63 years old. I live with my daughter. We live in a very rural area in North Carolina. I have the signs up. I have no trespassing. Beware of I follow all the protocol that you need. I also have a sign that says we don't carry. We don't call 911 neither.
Yeah, I love it. that's what we have to do. And that is, I mean, that's the norm, isn't it? That should be the norm for people to just recognize that. Imagine, if you will, we have a grocery store and a bad guy walks into a grocery store and nobody's armed. They can do whatever they want to, as opposed to, like yourself and so many others, you walk into a place, a bad guy walks in, and there are 50 of you that are all carrying. There's a difference in outcome in that situation, is there not, Patty?
No, I totally agree with you. And you know what? I love it here. I'm like you could tell, I'm not actually from here. I'm from New Jersey. So I'll tell you, I will never, I love it. We can't even get a pizza here. Let me tell you something. We can't even get delivery. That's how rural we are.
I love that. I miss that lifestyle. Got to be honest.
What?
I miss that lifestyle. I wish I could get back to such a rural area like that.
I like it. I do like it. I'm used to, you know, you can get a taxi or get a, you know. But you know what? Living out here, it's a nice place. My daughter, I mean, I'm on disability. I'm 63 years old. So you know what? But I'm going to tell you something. I'm 90 pounds, but don't mess with me. To this house, you better make sure you're carrying, okay?
I love it. Patty, I appreciate that. We got to take a break here, but you're spot on. There are so many like that. That's why we have yet to see a Red Dawn situation here. There are over 300 million firearms across this nation that are owned by private entities and over 8 billion rounds of ammunition. See how well that turns out if you try to come and do this. As Jason Aldean properly said, try that in a small town. Not making a threat, just a promise. You're not going to see the same reaction you see in the middle of a city. Lots more coming up here on the Radio Show.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
get into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes today. And what a fun show it's been. So much to cover and so little time to do it each and every day. It seems like now it's harder and harder just to stay up on everything that's going on in the world. So we try to do the best that we can each and every day. Todd does the same thing. And all the best recovery to you, my friend, as you continue to recover from your broken ankle. And as always, we absolutely love it and appreciate very, very much the opportunity to fill in and have some fun here on the program. 844-747-8868. But let's shift gears a little bit to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline as we go back to that as well. This attack on the Second Amendment, now that we have this new gun violence prevention office that's set to be announced on Friday from the Biden administration, I think that this was a prelude of what we were going to see nationally back in the great state of New Mexico with their wonderful governor who totally understands the role as governor and the ability and powers that they have as governor, which seems to be not the case moving forward here. Excited to have back on the program with me here Cheryl Chumley with us. Cheryl, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on the program. This is a wild time right now. We have the governor of New Mexico suspending concealed carry, open carry, carry licenses for 90 days, 30 days, 60 days, whatever she wants to do, because, well, that's going to somehow stop bad guys from carrying firearms because we have to do, quote unquote, something. Cheryl, I seem to remember these same talking points a while ago, huh?
It's classic Democrat talking point, right, where they want to strip guns out of the hands of lawful carriers so as to embolden the criminal element to just get out there and commit more crimes. But when you're speaking of the New Mexico governor in particular, I found it extra egregious how she declared this order. She said that it was a public health emergency. Gun violence was a public health emergency, and under that umbrella, she stripped citizens for 30 days, or tried to. She stepped on that, of course, but she tried to strip citizens of their Second Amendment rights. And I think this is a test case for what Democrats want to do going forward.
Yeah. Well, everything's a medical crisis. Some of them are a health crisis. I mean, we look at 10 years ago, they were trying to get their doctors under the Obama administration. Even they were trying to get doctors during the expansion of Obamacare to ask about how many firearms you have in your home so we can keep tabs. We can make sure, because it's a health crisis. If you have any sort of depression, if you're on anxiety pills or depression pills, then you know what? Maybe we need to notify the government about how many firearms that you actually have. And now coming out of a COVID-19 pandemic, where again, like you said, it was the kind of the test in the water, the breadcrumbs that were dropped to see how well this would work. Entire nationwide lockdowns during the COVID-19 pandemic. Everything's a health emergency. The environment's a health emergency. Gun crime's a health emergency. Obamacare, whatever. It's a way for them to find a way to regulate and centralize power and then tell you what you can and cannot do. And this is no different.
It is no different. And for the non-thinking public, though, the problem is that the more you throw something out there, right, the more you lie, the more it becomes truth after a certain amount of time. George Stephanopoulos, back when he was in the White House under Bill Clinton, sort of brought to the public stage the idea of spinning based on that principle that if you lie long enough, people will soon enough believe the lie. And this is what's happening, I believe, with the public health emergency orders, right? You throw it out there under the coronavirus. It's been successful. And now here we are jumping to climate change. Climate is the environment, of course, is a public health emergency. So you could see the Great Reset type crowd, the globalists using that as justification to lock Americans down again. And you've got this tyrant in chief in New Mexico, public health emergency, gun violence. And so it's just made, it's ready made to sway the public consciousness, the ones who are not thinking critically anyway and are only too happy to fold and bend to government will.
Yeah, that is very true. We're talking with Cheryl Chumley, author of the book Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom, which you can find on Amazon. Also, her website at CherylChumley.com as well. The pushback on this was kind of hilarious, and I keep saying that this was the story that keeps on giving, because when she announced this, she said that she would get pushback, and she's expecting pushback because that's the way our democracy works, but then says it's not going to be effective unless we don't have any pushback, so therefore you just need to go along with it because I have the ability to suspend constitutional powers. And even the media was asking, well, bad guys are already breaking the law because we already have laws on the books that say you're not allowed to do that. So would they actually abide by this? And she's like, no, but it'll set a strong precedent. Like, she even admitted that this wasn't really going to do anything to stop bad guys, didn't she?
She did. She bluntly admitted that, and which was shocking when you consider that the lawsuits that she was laying the groundwork to go forward, the ones that she acknowledged were coming, are coming at taxpayer expense. So that's basically a cavalier slap in the face to taxpayers who then have to fund these lawsuits that she created knowingly. But what got me more than the media pushing back against this, which I was happy to see, right, because it doesn't happen too frequently, but David Hoag, remember David Hoag, the anti-Second Amendment, vicious anti-Second Amendment student who survived the school shooting and then came out to make the media waves about how he's going to crumble and cripple the Second Amendment any way he could. He tweeted his opposition to what this New Mexico governor did. He didn't tweet his opposition based on her seizure of gun rights so much as it was his opposition to her use of the public health emergency order to do it. But you know that you've gone too far on a Second Amendment, pullback when even David Hoag resists it.
Yeah, nobody stood with her. The Democrats in the legislature, the media, David Hoag, all these advocates against the Second Amendment, they surprisingly, which was really weird, I thought I was in an episode of The Twilight Zone for a minute, the Democrats were making arguments that conservatives had made about pro-Second Amendment issues of bad guys not following the laws and just harming good guys. They were making the arguments for us this entire time. It was kind of interesting to watch.
It was interesting to watch, but I suspect it's short-lived, right? Because Democrats, when things don't go their way, it's not as if they reverse course and acknowledge, oops, we can't do that, it's unconstitutional. They just bide their time, wait, and then bring forth the very same unconstitutional measure that got slapped down, only this time they come at it from maybe a different little rhetoric or different little messaging and with greater force. So with, as you introduced the show, Joe Biden creating this gun group on Capitol Hill within the White House now, for the public health emergency discussion to take place in regards to the Second Amendment.
Exactly. What do you think this is going to look like, this new office? I mean, we're essentially creating another bureaucratic agency department. This is what this is going to turn into, a branch of the ATF probably in some form. But this gun violence prevention office, they're set to announce it publicly on Friday, but we have no details. Like, what are they doing? What is this supposed to prevent? And how in the world are they going to do it other than trying to find ways to expand some type of gun restrictions on the mass public? I don't know what else that this is set to do, because this is a very interesting direction that they're going for. I think in a state of desperation with low poll numbers, but the situation in New Mexico, I think, was the, like you said, the just the teaser of what we were going to see on a nationwide front. And I think she maybe pulled the trigger, pun intended, a little bit too soon, and they weren't prepared for the backlash that they got here.
Yeah, I think this this committee or whatever it's going to be called is nefarious in design, right? I think what they're doing is assembling the pieces to bring about the ultimate Democrat goal, which is to cripple and crumble the Second Amendment, to remove guns from the hands of law-abiding American citizens. And I think they're going to do it benignly at first. I think they're going to have an organization that talks about common sense gun controls, and then soon enough it will lead to some sort of data registry or whatever, and things that just sound on surface to those who don't understand the true reality, the true founding father intent of the Second Amendment, it'll sound common sense enough for them to get a wedge into the policy discussions leading to action. And I think Democrats, of course, ultimately are going to use this as a platform to call for widespread seizure of individuals' guns and firearms.
Yeah, I love all the trigger words they love to use, which is the universal background checks, universal red flag laws, common sense gun reform, military weapons, whatever. And they use these ad nauseum, and I don't think people even understand what they're trying to say, because none of it makes sense at all. Outside of the gun issue, now that we've gone through pandemic and we're starting to open things back up again, although this new strain of COVID is trying to push a new round of vaccines and new mask mandates in some schools across the country, do you think that enough people have woken up to what that agenda was during those past lockdowns and how badly it affected us? And if, God forbid, we see another round of lockdowns with this new strain of the COVID virus, or we see another virus, or even if we see, quote unquote, lockdowns when it comes to Second Amendment issues because of a, quote unquote, health pandemic, are we seeing enough people be awake and realize what's going on with this agenda and try to stop this? Or do you think we'll fall back into it because, well, we don't have enough that are cognitively thinking right now?
I would say B. I would like to say that, yes, people have woken up to the government's use of fear to justify just blanket seizures of individual, of God-given individual liberties. But look, if that were the case, why do we have public school systems in America right now that have face mask mandates in place as a condition for students returning to schools? Why do we have college campuses right now in America demanding that students have these COVID shots, updated COVID shots, which means these new boosters that are even less tested than the original ones? At least the original ones used humans. Now we're using mice. Why do we have those in place right now? So until every face mask is gone from the children particularly, but adults in America, and until we have freedom in, to decide whether or not to take shots wherever we go, then I would say we need to stand on guard for more lockdowns.
Well, between health issues and gun issues, they definitely have plenty of opportunity for them to claim that they're trying to take care of us, and that's a very concerning aspect to this. It's Cheryl Chumley, author of the book Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Last question as we let you go, but looking at local government entities, which is, I think, where a lot of people have started to focus their attention now that we realize that city councils, school boards, county commission had a lot of influence on those lockdowns during the pandemic, and a lot of parents that have started to run for school boards and try to change the dynamic of local city councils. Do they have the willpower, do you think, across the nation, if there is another lockdown mandate from the federal level, to push back and say, no, we're not going to enforce this, we're going to keep our local communities open?
I'm sure there are spots around the nation where you can definitely say yes to that. But then you have to consider that some of these so-called mandates weren't implemented at the hands so much of government bureaucrats, but the free market, the businesses, right? That you would have one local health bureaucrat taking advice from Anthony Fauci or Bill Gates or CDC or wherever, and suggesting that businesses in the community ought to have people wear face masks as conditions of working there or entering their establishment. And then we saw all those signs on the doors, face masks required as condition of entry. It's the law. Well, it never was the law. So, yes, it's great if people are going to run for office on the local level and push back on some of this madness. I'm all in favor of that. And that's a great way to score wins for our side. But we need the businesses getting in line and stop being so much of a oligarchy or so much of a nanny replacement for the government and just back out of politics.
Yeah, we just have to say no. Remember those campaigns when it came to drugs in the school? Just say no. And that's what we have to do against the government now, I think, as well. It's Cheryl Chumley, CherylChumley.com. Go and check out the website. Also, make sure to get the book, a fascinating read, and it's going to open your mind up of what's to come if they try this stuff ever again, because obviously it's still working. The book is Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Cheryl, thank you so much for coming on the program. We got to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. Right back here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Last few minutes of the show. Oh, how it flies right on by. Hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at MyPillow. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. So excited. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever ask for and want in a pillow. And now, nearly 20 years later, he's discovered the new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow that you'll ever own. For the exclusive listeners right here on the Todd Starnes radio program, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNES. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the U.S. of A and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get the buy one, get one free. Again, use the promo code STARNS or you can call 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0 right now. It's MyPillow. Use that promo code STARNS right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Fantastic stuff. As we look at the game, the chess game that they try to use from the left side of the aisle, we're aware of it. We're on to you. We know exactly what you are doing. We know exactly what you're trying. We know exactly the direction you're going to go. It's just waking enough people up to be aware of it as well and begin to push back a little bit, because so many of them still have the horse blinders on, following the same direction, going down the same road.
Oh, the government's here to help us. Don't worry. Just got to do what they say.
Because remember, I mean, I guess they still believe that Todd Starnes is kind of the man, so you need to listen to him. Dr. Fauci, on the other hand, not so much, because he is science. Dr. Fauci is science. He's not agreeing with science. He's not aligning with science. He is science. And so many still continue to just blindly follow him, which is a very scary concern. In the last couple minutes here, I am more excited about this than I think anything else. Because I cannot wait about this book to come out. I'm gonna be the first one to buy 100,000 copies of it and give it to everybody. I am so excited. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, Liz Cheney now has her book coming out talking about the behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. under the Trump administration. Oh yes. Oh, Liz Cheney now has her book called The Oath and Honor, a memoir and a warning. Conveniently going into election season before the Donald Trump administration in 2024, if he ends up getting the nomination again. But Liz Cheney, the same one who was cast out of the Republican Party in the state of Wyoming by three quarters of her party that did not want anything to do with her because of how she abused her power for a personal vendetta against the individual, apparently has not gotten the hint. And when your own party shuns you and calls you out for your lack of Republicanism, and they vote you out in one of the worst elections that any elected official has had in a very, very long time, that should be the telltale sign and the red flag for you to say, you know, maybe I should just calm it down and just go live my life peaceably. But oh no, Liz Cheney now has her book, Oath and Honor, the memoir and a warning of what could happen under another Trump administration. Her continued personal vendetta to make sure that Donald Trump does not get that nomination at all in the presidential election of 2024, it's officially here. They're ramping it up. They're ramping it up from the mainstream media to the indictment issues to the court cases that they're having beyond just the indictments to the investigation from the DOJ, the ignorance of the Biden crime family as well. And now with the formerly elected officials like Liz Cheney, they're stepping up their games, my friends, getting ready to try and go after Donald Trump in any way that they possibly can. And it's kind of funny to watch. Pop the popcorn, my friends. Sit back and just enjoy the show, because they are in self-destruct mode, and we'll sit back and watch it all happen. That is it for us today. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. Always an honor to do so, Todd. Thank you so much for allowing us to do that. Todd will be back at it tomorrow. Until then, as I always say, be your own voice of reason. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Enjoy the rest of it right here on the Todd Starnes radio show.
What's up, everybody. Okay, do you guys know that even if we all ate the same and exercised the same, that we would all still look completely different? I'm Lacey Green. I'm a super trainer with Body. That's BODI.com. I'm telling you, this is something that you need in your life. The app isn't just about having a perfect body, because what is that anyway? It's about what we call health esteem. Feeling good about yourself right now, just as you are, as you work on the person you are becoming. Using Body's tools to find your version of happy and healthy. Body isn't just some software. It's people. It's trainers, nutrition, and mindset experts, and a community of other people just like you and me. And they even have my program for beginners only, which you have to try even if you've never worked out a day in your life. I'll get you off the couch and started on day one, finding the joy and dropping the judgment. And don't take my word for it. You can try it for free right now for 14 days at body.com. That's body with an I.com. Let's get up, get moving, and feel good. Whoop, whoop.